Before we get into the message, let me just ask you to find your sermon notes for today so you can follow along, fill in the blanks as we go, and keep this as part of your devotional life this week. Before we get to that, however, let me just ask, how many of you missed me last week? Anybody? Good. I missed you even more, and I mean that sincerely. We had a great trip. We went to Alaska on a cruise. I told my boys, we took them along, it was their last opportunity to go on vacation with their parents, where we would pay for it. After that, they're all on their own. We shall see how that all works out. We had a great trip, cruised from Vancouver to Anchorage, Alaska, and then flew back, got back Saturday morning. So I really admire those people who have to fly an airplane for a living for their work, because I was exhausted yesterday. But it was a great trip. But what I really missed the most, and I sincerely mean this, was worship on Sunday morning. Now, cruise ships are wonderful, but their worship services leave a lot to be desired. In fact, I think when I retire, I'm going to be a chaplain on a cruise ship. All we had was a rabbi on Sunday morning, so it wasn't quite the same. Nor did we have the kind of inspiring music that we have enjoyed this morning. So it's good to be back. We are continuing with our series on prayer. Just to recap a little bit, we began with Jesus's telling his disciples that if they had the faith of a mustard seed, they could say to this mountain, "Move," and it would be cast into the sea. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said to the mountain, "Move," and it actually moved? Well, Jesus' words aren't meant to be taken literally, at least most of the time. Instead, what he was telling us was that God's power is so great that he can remove the obstacles of our life, and when he does not, he can change our heart to cope with whatever life brings us. We've talked about prayer being more than anything else a relationship with God. Knowing that he is our Father. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about that relationship. Jesus called his Father Abba, Daddy. So when we pray, it is like saying, "Dad, I've got something on my mind." And then being able, without any fear or trepidation whatsoever, to speak to him in confidence, knowing that he will give you the very best of what he has. And so we continue today with this little phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Now, what does that mean? Thy kingdom come. In ancient times, there were literally kings all over the land, and they were in charge of a particular country or territory. But for us, a kingdom is wherever God's intentions are at work. So whenever someone works out God's intentions, that is where his kingdom is. It's right here this morning. It was right there in our praise team, where they practiced this week and prepared these songs to lift us up in worship. That's God's kingdom coming. When someone gives up a week's vacation, instead of, like me, going on a cruise to Alaska, they instead teach vacation Bible school in Tijuana, Mexico, that is God's kingdom coming. When a wife forgives her husband for his cross words, that's God's kingdom coming. Maybe you heard about what happened in Toledo, Ohio not too long ago. In the midst of all the violence that has been occurring in our country, the police and the community got together over hot dogs. And they were not Chicago dogs either, but still they could come together and talk about how they could overcome their differences. That is God's kingdom coming. And so we're simply praying, "Lord, don't just let this happen in heaven. Let it happen in my life right now." So we begin with this, if you want to fill in the blanks. Martin Luther suggests that when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," that we're simply making our prayers bigger. Bigger. What are your prayers like? Do you have small prayers? Like, "God, help me find my car keys." You ever have that prayer? "God, help me find my reading glasses." You ever have that prayer? There's nothing wrong with those, but how about a little bigger prayer? How about, "God, help me make an eternal difference in someone's life today." Now, that's a good prayer. Make your prayers bigger. Luther gave this analogy. He said there was a beggar who came to a king. And the king wanted to give the beggar anything. He wanted to lavish his riches of his kingdom upon him. Jewels, gold, land, all of these provisions. And what do you suppose the beggar asked for? Nothing but a measly bowl of soup. Now, don't misunderstand. God cares about every aspect of your life. There is nothing that is too small that you cannot ask God for. And sometimes a bowl of soup is exactly what we need. But sometimes God literally does want to move mountains for us. And so we're supposed to pray for these great big things that only God can do. How many times do we pray the safe prayer? We do this all the time in church. I do this all the time. Later on, we'll get to the prayers for healing, for those who are sick, those who are suffering. And we'll say something like, "God, be with the doctors and the nurses to give the best possible care to those who are in need." And it's a good prayer. But every now and then, can't we ask for a miracle? Can't we ask for God to go over and through and above and beyond the rules of science and ask for Him to heal someone? Way too often our prayers are too small. I'm reminded of a great story about the legendary golfer Arnold Palmer. Anybody know Arnold Palmer other than as a drink? A real person? Years ago, when he wasn't playing in a PGA tournament or one of the four majors, Arnold Palmer would travel the world in exhibitions. And so one time he went to Saudi Arabia, and there he played a number of exhibition matches, and the king was so impressed that he wanted to give Arnold Palmer a gift, an appreciation for what he had done. And Arnold Palmer, being a very humble individual, he said, No, you don't have to do that. It was my pleasure to come and to play in your wonderful country on these beautiful golf courses. You don't need to give me anything. Just being here is gift enough. But in typical Middle Eastern fashion, the king says, "No, you don't understand. If you don't accept my gift, I am insulted." "Well, if you put it that way," Palmer said, "I will accept your gift. Maybe a golf club would be appropriate, something to take back home as a memento of my trip to Saudi Arabia." And so the next morning at his hotel, there was delivered to Arnold Palmer not this kind of golf club that you swing, but rather a piece of paper that was the title to a golf club. Hundreds of acres, lakes, trees, an immaculate clubhouse. The moral of the story is, Arnold Palmer says, that when you are in the presence of a king, don't ask for small gifts. We are in the presence of the king. He has provided this abundant life. He has given up his only son to die on the cross. He raised him from the grave, not just so that we could have life, but the abundant life. All the riches of the kingdom are already ours. We simply need to ask. So every now and then, let's ask God to move the mountain. Because when we do and He delivers, only He is glorified. My friends, it's why we ask big, bold, and audacious things like building a sanctuary out here. Not for our good, not for our glory, but for the good of the community. So others might know the love of God the Father, and so that He might be glorified. Fear not, little flock, Jesus said, for it is God's pleasure to give you His kingdom. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, it means bigger prayers. It also means, in our second point, is that our lives are expanded as well. You remember a couple of weeks ago, Jesus was telling His disciples that the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay His head. Foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nothing, no place even to lay His head. It's how difficult it is to follow Jesus. You see, so many of us will say, I'll follow you anywhere. Until Jesus tells us that we might have to leave the comforts of home. A second man came to Him and says, I will follow you anywhere. I just need to go and bury my father first. And Jesus says, very hard words, let the dead bury the dead. What? The kingdom is so important, come follow me now. And a third man says, well, I'll follow you, but I have to go say goodbye to my family first. And Jesus says, don't look back. When you're plowing, you don't look at the furrow you've already plowed. You look forward to the goal. It's the only way to plow a straight line. Now, Jesus is not necessarily saying, quit your job. Go become a pastor. He's not necessarily saying, don't take time to go to your parents' funeral. He's not necessarily saying, just go on this wild goose chase and follow Him. But what He is saying, this radical message, that sometimes we are to put Him first. If you want to fill in the blanks, ask God to come and rule in your own heart. You see, we need to pray big prayers, people, but first, ask God to rule in your own heart. And that does mean that there's times when we need to put God and His kingdom first, above all the other priorities of life. And here's the great news. This is the promise that Jesus gives. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and what? All of these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. Don't worry about paying the bills. Everybody worries about that stuff. Everybody. The King James says, even the pagans, not just the nations of the world, but the pagans, those unbelievers, those heathen, they worry about that stuff. You don't have to worry about that. You're God's children. He takes care of the birds, doesn't He? He takes care of the lilies of the field, doesn't He? How much more valuable are you than that? If He's going to take care of them, He'll surely take care of you. When we put our priority of the kingdom, of the eternal, of the heavenly, first. There's a book written by a man by the name of A.J. Jacobs, The Year of Living Biblically. You ever thought about that? What your life would look like if you really followed the Bible. And in that book, he talks about something that he calls cafeteria Christianity. Now, I can relate to this. I just got back from a cruise. Cafeteria, buffet, 24 hours a day, you can have bacon. Talk about the abundant life. Wow. Abundance. And the thing is, you can go to that cafeteria, you can go to that buffet, and you can pick and choose what you want. You don't have to eat the fruit, and they still give you the bacon. What a deal. Unfortunately, way too often, that's how we are as Christians. We pick and choose. And I suppose it is inevitable because we're all sinners. You know, love your neighbor sounds really good until you have one. And then it gets a little harder. Turn the other cheek. There's one. Really hard to do when someone offends you, isn't it? What would the world be like if we not only prayed big prayers, but we began to answer other people's prayers with our life? You know, Jesus loved everyone. Samaritans who were outcasts, half-breeds, mixed race. Tax collectors who were despised, even hated by the people. Those were the ones that he ate dinner with. Sinners, lepers, prostitutes. Imagine what life could be if we would go where Jesus went. And if we did what Jesus did. You know what would happen? Not only would other people's prayers be answered, but our lives and our hearts would also get bigger. My kingdom come, thy kingdom come means expanding the size of our prayers and the size of our lives and finally the size of our God. Now again, don't misunderstand. God is big, right? It's not the problem. He is omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful, creator of the universe, savior of the world, Lord of lords, King of kings. No, the problem isn't the size of God. The problem is our view of God. And so we conjure up these piddly little pathetic prayers. And we ask God to do things that we think will be easy for Him. What if we expanded our view? What if we made God truly huge to do the things that only He can do? Like Isaiah says, where the lamb and the wolf will lie down together. How does that usually work? The wolf usually eats the lamb, right? Or where nations will beat their swords into plowshares. Only God can do that. And so in our prayers, if you want to fill in the blanks, let's ask God to show us more power, more strength. You see, God has a dream to love and to bless the whole world. Way too often we have what we might call a functional atheism. We live our lives as if God doesn't really exist. Solving all our problems on our own. Doing our own work, taking our own credit. Except when we can't. When we come to the end of our rope. When there's an obstacle too big. And then we remember, oh yeah. There is a God. When I was on the cruise, we got to see lots of wildlife, eagles, whales, otters, a bear about from me to Dave. Just walked right across the path. I can't believe all the people who went up to take a picture of them. I was running the other way. But it reminded me of a great movie from a number of years ago. Anybody ever see The Bear? little cub. Mother dies in a rock slide. And you wonder, what hope does this little critter have without his mother? But then he's adopted by this huge grizzly, and he becomes his father. And he teaches him everything, how to hunt and how to fish, how to scratch his back against the bark of a tree. And when a mountain lion is stalking him, the father is there to protect him. And all is well until one day, the cub and the grizzly are separated. And the mountain lion is not forgotten. And he sneaks up. And he's about to pounce. And the little cub remembers what his father had taught him. And he raised up on his hind legs and he made himself as large as possible. And he let out what he hoped would be a fierce growl. But all that came out was a little squeak. But much to his surprise, the mountain lion registers fear on its face and it begins to slink away. And then the camera pans and you see the huge bear in all his glory behind the little cub. He has nothing to fear. His father is always with him. My friends, our God is always with us, even when we can't see him. Even when he doesn't appear to be present. And so there is no prayer that he does not hear. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the riches of his kingdom. And so this week, pray bigger. Pray that God would grow in your own hearts and lives, and that you would view him as the Father that he truly is. May his kingdom truly come in your lives. Amen.